It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Proposed changes to the state constitution are heading to voters for a final say in the November election. Yesterday, the measures passed out of the state Senate, giving the final okay. One amendment targets the government's diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. Another would bar the government from closing down houses of worship during times of emergency. A third constitutional amendment would limit the governor's partial veto power that also passed the Senate yesterday and will make it to the statewide ballot once it clears the assembly. To hear more about the Senate session yesterday and what these constitutional amendments would do, we have WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson with us. Sean, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
These ballot measures, they're meant to make changes to Wisconsin's constitution. Can you remind us, what is the process for getting a constitutional amendment on the ballot?
Yeah, so what they have to do in the legislature is pass a resolution out of the full legislature in two consecutive sessions. So when we talk about something that has made it to the ballot, that means it already passed last session, the Senate and the Assembly, and then it passed again, an identical version passed again this session through the Assembly and Senate. And once that happens, it goes before voters, and it's up to them to decide whether the Constitution is indeed amended or these things get rejected.
And the governor doesn't have a power to stop these amendments.
He does not. And I mean, that's kind of key in our current dynamic of state government, because we have seen Democratic Governor Tony Evers veto record numbers of Republican bills. It is a clear example of where divided government matters, and that, you know, when you have a governor from one party and a legislature from the other, you know, the one party can't just get everything they want. But when it comes to constitutional amendments, it sidesteps the governor entirely. It's up to voters to veto these things if they choose to.
The state has seen an increase in constitutional amendments advancing to a statewide ballot in recent years, five in 2024 alone. What is behind this increase?
I think for Republicans, they view it as a way to get their agenda done in this atmosphere. You know, they don't have to cut a deal with the governor. They don't have to come his way on this stuff. And in some cases, they pass constitutional amendments that are designed to, you know, restrict the power of the governor or his administration. So those are a few factors, but they all kind of come back to this divided government that we have. And there's also, you know, when you have a legislature that takes these steps, that says, let's put these in the Constitution, they are collectively saying, hey, we believe in these so much that we want them to be basically forever. You know, a law can be repealed, passed by one legislature and repealed by the next. But a constitutional amendment, to change that, you have to go through the same process all over again. So it's fairly permanent.
Well, let's look at these amendments. One focuses on diversity, equity, and inclusion in state government, and if passed by voters, how would this change the Constitution and affect government agencies?
So the amendment would, you know, according to an analysis by the legislature's, nonpartisan attorneys, bar government from discriminating against or granting preferential treatment to any individual or group on the basis of race, sex, color, ethnicity, or national origin. So it's a fairly broad brush there that it's going after. And when you're talking about granting preferential treatment to, that can mean a wide variety of things. And so it very well could go after any number of programs or initiatives that, perhaps don't necessarily have a flashing neon sign that says DEI or diversity, equity, inclusion, but nevertheless are designed to boost opportunities for minorities or women somehow in government.
Republicans have brought up this federal investigation into the Green Bay Area Public School District as evidence as to why the amendment is needed. How does this case relate?
I think that's definitely something that you've heard in this, the argument from Republicans for these initiatives. This was a complaint that was filed by the conservative law firm, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which alleged that a student was denied reading resources because he was white, citing a school success plan where the district allegedly prioritized students of other races. But I think this is part of a much bigger push that dates back, you know, many years. In Wisconsin specifically, it's been a real push by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who is the most powerful Republican in the state legislature. A few years ago, you know, there was this kind of back and forth between Voss and the University of Wisconsin over, you know, whether to give pay raises to UW mm-hmm. employees and a new capital building plan. And Voss said, if you're going to get these things, I'm going to insist on these changes to DEI practices. He got what he was looking for. And he said at the time, quote, Republicans know this is just the first step in what will be our continuing efforts to eliminate these cancerous DEI practices. So that's how he views it. We now have President Donald Trump in the White House who uses very strong language when he's talking about DEI. So it's definitely part of a big push, both Wisconsin and nationally.
We have WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson with us as lawmakers advance constitutional amendments and looking at what the changes would mean in the state constitution if voters approve them in the fall. Another constitutional amendment that is awaiting final passage by the Assembly has to do with the governor's partial veto power. The veto power has a long history in Wisconsin. What would this amendment mean to the governor's partial veto abilities?
This amendment would specifically say that the governor can't use their partial veto over an appropriation bill, and so a bill that spends money, mm-hmm. to create or increase any tax or fee. So it's definitely a nod to the governor's partial veto that we, you know, refer to as the 400-year veto. This is where Governor Tony Evers took a revenue limit increase for schools that was supposed to last over the course of a 2-year budget. And by, very creative use of the governor's partial veto, he extended that to 400 years. And this is something that was upheld by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So it is the law of the land that that partial veto, the 400-year veto, stands. This amendment wouldn't undo that, but it would say that a future governor wouldn't be able to use the partial veto in that way.
Both parties have launched criticism, for the other party abusing the veto power. Is veto power a uniqueness of Wisconsin authority?
Yeah. I mean, you hear about line item vetoes mm-hmm. with a lot of governors, and the partial veto is not the same. You know, a line item veto, they got to take out an entire line. Mm-hmm. A Wisconsin governor looks at that and just kind of laughs. You know, that's just such a small power compared to what a Wisconsin governor can do with this, just these tiny little vetoes that really, you know, rewrite a budget, frankly. There are some limitations that voters in previous referendums have put on governors, they were referred to as the Vanna White veto and the Frankenstein veto. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the governor can't create a new word by rejecting individual letters, and they can't create a new sentence by combining parts of two or more sentences. Other than that, you know, a governor can do what they want. So it's a very powerful veto pen in Wisconsin compared to other states.
Okay. Constitutional Amendment number 3, houses of worship, the houses of worship and their ability to keep their doors open. What would this do?
So remember the debates that we had in, you know, the early days and years of COVID. Yeah. Kind of revives those, but specific to public health orders that would, you know, force people or ban people from large gatherings in houses of worship. So this is something that the state of Wisconsin did, along with other states, banning large gatherings at church. The idea at the time was we didn't have any vaccines for COVID. We didn't know much about it. And so the state said, let's not have a bunch of people in a confined space. It could cause the virus to spread. Republicans are saying, you know, the U.S. Constitution is pretty clear on this, and we should never again restrict somebody's freedom to worship. So that's what this amendment would do. It would be specific to those types of bans, and would say that the state or any other local government can't do that again.
So these constitutional amendments coming to the midterm elections, November ballot, Republicans, meanwhile, they do face political headwinds. Does the political climate affect whether these constitutional amendments get through by voters?
I think, you know, conventional wisdom when one party puts these things on the ballot is that that party thinks it's going to be good for them, that these are issues that they're happy to have out there, and perhaps it'll drive their people out to the polls. So even though it's, you know, historically, this looks like it's going to be a Democratic year. Republicans are putting these initiatives that they kind of like their odds on before voters, and, you know, in an effort probably to get them out there. You did hear one Democrat, Tim Carpenter of Milwaukee, saying, hey, this has backfired on you before. You can sometimes generate turnout among the other party. He cited the 2006 amendment banning same-sex marriage in Wisconsin, which turned up Democratic turnout in on-campus wards. So the political element of these things is something that can't be ignored. And so, you know, we'll be voting for governor this year. We'll be voting for races for the legislature, and we'll be voting in three proposed amendments likely to the Wisconsin Constitution.
Sean, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for the update.
Good to talk with you.
Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, and we've been talking about these constitutional amendments coming to statewide ballots in the fall and what they do if enshrined into the state constitution.